There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, good evening, everybody. It is another Tuesday night. Today's date is the 31st of December, 2013. And have a very special evening for you tonight. If you've listened to the last couple of shows over the last couple of months, we've had a really good guest on the show. Great speaking voice. He's got a really good little group going on in Wisconsin, up in the northern part of the USA. His name is Sherwood. We like to refer to him as Mr. Creamy and the Creamettes. They're out of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And they're just a real nice group of people up there. And they were having a special get-together tonight. And it started at 7 o'clock. So they've been already congregating and sharing and enjoying grace for about the last hour. And they're going to be with us for the next hour or so. And then they've got a whole bunch of food and really good-tasting snacks. And they're going to have a party up in Wisconsin. And apparently, none of us are invited. So I just wanted to, you know, let them know that we hope they have fun and we hope their food's really good. And it's just a shame that they didn't bring enough for everybody. Okay, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to have some questions. Let's get the housekeeping out of the way. We've got people listening all over the planet. Some of you, it already is the new year. For all of you listening in Australia, it's actually about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We have a lot of people that set their alarm clocks in Western Europe, where it's exactly 2 to 3 o'clock a.m. on Wednesday, even though it still is several hours before midnight here in the USA. As always, we're in the barn. What better place to talk about grace than in a manger? And we're actually in a barn, in a stall, converted into a radio station. The reason I go through this is we have a lot of people that have never heard this radio show before tonight. All right, let's get the housekeeping out of the way. All right. First, we've got email. If you'd like to email the show, you send your emails to theabidingpresence@gmail.com. And it's real easy, it's just the name of the show. There's no capitals, there's no special letters. It's just all one word. theabidingpresence@gmail.com. And if you want to send a text message, it's real easy to send a text message. You send your text messages to Grace is the first word that you type. G-R-A-C-E. Grace. I'm sorry, I have to spell it. But that just shows how far some people are away from grace. After you type the word grace, then you send it to 69302. 69302 is the text number for the show. We love emails. We love texts. We've already had a couple emails before the show started tonight. We'll be getting to those in a while. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about identity. The interesting thing about identity is this. You ask somebody what they do for a living. They'll say, I'm a carpenter. I'm a mechanic. I'm a doctor. I'm an attorney. I'm a lawyer. I drive a forklift. I'm a pastor. I pasteurize in front of a group of people. I work with horses. Whatever it is, people identify with the largest majority of their time is spent. So many people commit suicide, they start to drink, they turn to drugs when they've been laid off from a job that they've had for 15 to 25 years. It's because when they have fired from their job, they lose a great part of their personal identity and who they are. Well, that is really sad. But what is extremely sadder and extremely melancholy is there's a quote-unquote Christian identity. That sounds wonderful. It sounds like, yes, I want a Christian identity, except it's really not very good for you. It doesn't benefit you. It doesn't get prayers answered. It's really of no use to you because Christianity is a business. It's large groups of people going to buildings and structures on a regular basis, and they're worshiping the same thing. It's a dog chasing its own tail. And so you have this identity of the group. You have this identity of the organization. When in reality, the only identity you have is with your Father, is with Christ. It's an individual journey, and it's an individual relationship. So if you identify yourself with an organization, you identify yourself with a group, where is there room for Jesus in this? And first, Jim, I know you're right here. Sherwood, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. How's things going? Is anybody there, or did they all leave and head for the food?
They're all here.
Are they cheering you, me, or Jim? They're cheering the food, right? That's what that was about, because I said food, and everybody went nuts.
I think that was about the food.
Well, just to let you know, it's a New Year's Eve here, and if you've ever listened to the show with any regularity at all, everybody, thank you very much. Right, Jim?
Yeah, we're grateful to have you tuned in to us.
We got this snacks.
We do. We probably don't have anything like they
do. No, but we have chocolate-covered cherries. We have peanut butter cups. We have honey glazed almonds.
By the time you get done with the list, they're going to think we've already OD'd, okay?
Pineapple, peaches, Ruffles potato chips, candy from Germany from Fred. Hello to Fred and his little church.
Thanks, Fred.
In the Black Forest in Germany. So hello to Fred. Sherwood, what did you think of the opening statement about identity? Have you noticed that people sometimes identify with the flesh and the world, which really leaves no room for Christ?
Absolutely. Yeah, that is it's a very common thing that occurs, especially in people who are professing to be Christians, because oftentimes, you know, I often say if you don't have an identity, then someone will make sure that you get one. Even if they have to give you theirs. And that is, a lot of people do get their identity from whatever particular organization or group of people that they are connected with. Oftentimes, that's where they get their identity. So I understand that and really try to encourage people as well to make sure that they are identifying with God more so than a building or a structure or an organization of people.
Now, Jim, in all your travels, pasteurizing, because you're a pastor, When you're out pasteurizing, have you found what Sherwood has noticed?
Oh, I find it every place I go. I mean, and that is that people are pretty much treating their practice of going to services as their, and here's the word, Christianity. And so if God is there in a mighty way, then they've been touched by God for that service. If it's just a teaching service, then they look at it as, well, we learned something. And then the saddest part about it is, because that's their Christianity, where they meet, when they leave and go home, they go back to what's real to them. And this is the thing that I see the most and have been seeing the last couple of years since we've been going down these particular trails, and that is the distortion of words. And I think we might look at that as being too simplistic, but I think it's extremely profound that we can take a word and distort it over the course of generations and it actually have nothing to do with what it was intended to do, and therefore our identity is skewed.
Well, what a lot of people, if people really looked more at history and they took the word Christianity out of their view, and they really looked at Jesus. So many times on the show, we've said Jesus really wasn't that effective. He didn't really have a very good batting average. He was only perfect, and he was only 100% to those that had an open mind and an open heart, which was a fraction of the people that had heard of him. It was a small fraction of the people that knew he was going to be somewhere.
Right. Now, according to that statement, you could say this. The people that followed him, he had great success because they were open-hearted and open-minded. But the percentage of people that actually knew of him was huge compared to those that actually followed.
Right. But see, and they were following him. That's the broad view. But the real view is they were following his father. They were following grace. Jesus never took credit for anything. He didn't say, hi, you know, by the way, you know, you owe me a chicken, a goose, and a fresh loaf of bread because you can see now.
Right.
You know, and one of these, what was it? Was it 11 or 12 guys?
It was 12 guys.
Okay, well, you know, he had 12 buddies. Good for him. But that didn't turn out well, did it?
Well, not for one of them.
No. So much for big meals. Hint, hint, hint. And Eau Claire. But... the thing that you got to do here is I'm going to bring something else into this. I spent three I talked to Dave and Barb. They're mm-hmm. in Minneapolis. They drove from Minneapolis up to Eau Claire to say hello to Mr. Creamy and the Creamettes. And I was talking to Dave today, and he says, what are you doing? I says, I'm in a parking lot watching people. And he says, what are you doing? And I says, well, I says, you're not going to believe me, but the guys wanted me to sit here. I've been sitting in this parking lot for 3 hours watching people. And I said, do you want to know what I've watched? And he goes, yeah. And he thought it was a joke. And I says, well, and you know I do this.
Right, right.
You know, the guys send me all over to do the most, you know, ridiculous thing because they're bored. You know, they get tired. And, you know, Tuesday is bowling day, so they come up with all kinds of things for me to do. But anyways, what I watched was I'll give you an example of what I was watching and how this ties into the identity.
Right.
A guy was, it was a grocery store, big grocery store. It was really super busy. Everybody getting ready for Easter and the 4th of July, I guess. But anyways, this guy comes out and he's got a cart. He unloads all the stuff in his car and he's got this cart. And there's this lady that's coming towards him and he sees the lady. So he takes the cart and he walks out behind his car and he says, here's this cart. She grabbed it, and she walked on by. She didn't nod her head. She didn't say thank you. She just smiled. She just did it like it was one of those relay races where
right.
one person passes a baton to the other.
Right.
He looked at me because I was, you know, I had my windows down, and Ranger, my dog, is right. sitting next to me in the cab of the truck. And he looked at me, and I shrugged my shoulder, and I said, she's probably in a hurry. Maybe she had to go to the bathroom. And, you know, and he just kind of chuckled and he got in his car. Well, then this lady pulls up in her car. And you can tell, you know, she's an older lady. She's got the seat all the way up and her head barely over the steering wheel, you know,
yeah.
how old ladies drive. And I've just scored points for somebody in Eau Claire. And so anyways, she parks her car and she's walking really slow. And she's trying to cross between the parking lot and the front of the store.
Okay.
And she's standing there, and she's standing there. And she's kind of looking at me, and these people just keep going by in their cars, and they won't let her walk. And I yelled at her. I says, you know what? I says, just run. Just go for it. And I says, if you get killed, I'll tell your family that you ran your best. And she just started she just started laughing. And I sit there. And I said, come on. I said, you're a big girl. I said, just step out there. Somebody's going to stop sooner or later. And I says, don't worry about their car. I said, you're a very petite woman. I says, you won't hurt their car. Don't worry about their car. Their car will be okay. And she's just dying laughing. And finally, this guy stops in an SUV. Well, she can't walk very fast.
Right.
You know, her wristwatch moves faster than she does. And she's just doing the little grandma waddle, and she's going by. And he's literally looking right at her like, hurry up, hurry up. You know, you can tell that he's upset. Well, when she goes to wave, like, you know, thank you for finally stopping. He literally doesn't even wait for her to get out of the driveway. He makes an exaggerated loop around her. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to wait any longer, and I'm just going to drive around you. Okay. A couple minutes later, this guy comes out, and he drops his grocery sack. And about three or four oranges start to roll away. Okay. I get out of my truck. I get two oranges because Ranger can move faster than me. So I tell Ranger, I go, go get him, go get him. So Ranger's getting these oranges, and she's bringing me the oranges. I hand them to the guy, and he says, well, your dog just slobbered all over my oranges. And I says, well, gee, I didn't know that you were one of those people that eat the outside of the orange and throw the inside away. I says, I didn't know that. I apologize. And I says, do you want money for these three oranges? And he says, no. And so I handed him these oranges. He didn't say anything else. He just looked at Ranger and he looked at me. And and I thought, okay, well, here's the point. If people don't acknowledge the kindness and common courtesy and humanity and decency of small little things.
Right.
It's literally going to be impossible for that person to find grace.
Sure.
Because grace is smaller and more unimportant than oranges, stopping for grandma, or handing somebody a shopping cart. Because we're born with grace.
Right.
It's natural. It's as a part of us as a mole on our rear end.
Yeah, you could almost say, and sure would comment to this, but, you know, when Eve sinned in the garden, she chose another over God. When Adam sinned in the garden, he chose himself, his own independence. And that's really what man struggles with all down through the ages, is getting themselves out of the way, being selfish, their own independence, so that they could actually see or find God.
Sherwood?
Yes, well, actually, you know, it goes along with something that we just finished talking about. And by the way, we do have a question waiting here in just a moment.
Oh, great. We
had the opportunity tonight to talk about what are some of our goals as a group of people that come together and assemble each week in our box here. You know, what is it that we're trying to do and what is it that we're trying to accomplish? And one of the things that I shared with them is how important it is, if we're going to expand our capacity, is we've got to begin to practice eliminating options. We just have too many options. So if it doesn't seem like God is working today, hey, we always got another option, and we can just go back and resort to the flesh. And so, we got to start doing that. We got James standing here, and James has a question that he'd like to ask, guys, if that's okay.
Yeah, how you doing, James?
I'm doing wonderfully. I'm very privileged to be talking with you guys. I listen to your radio show quite a few times, and I appreciate what Jim said when he came up here.
Oh, you've listened to a lot of shows?
I've listened to a few, yes.
So then you know how Jim screws me out of snacks, right?
I am aware of that, yes.
Okay, see? Another witness, Jim.
Where's the grapes, man?
Okay, well, Jim, what's going on back there?
Yeah, this is a radical group of people that they are none of them are normal.
Okay. Well,
they're not normal. Not normal at all.
I don't know. That doesn't sound like a worshiping of grace. It sounds like there's some lap dances going on or something in the background.
Oh, no. All right, we're gonna have to unplug you.
Okay, Jim. James, what's your question?
Well, my question, you were talking about identity, and it seems to me that our spirit is our identity. It'll draw from whatever it's connected to, and then we as humans get whatever we are connected to. If we are connected to the Most High God, of course, we'll get God's results in our lives. And if we're connected to anything other than Him, we're subject to anything that the world wants to give us.
Right.
Kind of like a floppy disk. or a CD-ROM, if you take the disc and you weigh it with no information on it, it weighs about a gram. If you put the full thing up to 750 megabytes of information, it still weighs the same. You know, our spirit actually is our identity. And I was wondering if I was pretty far off on that or how accurate that thought was.
No, Jim, you comment first.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking over here in Romans and chapter 8. And if you remember some of the things Paul talked about, it was pretty straightforward, James, with what you're saying. He said, "For they that are after the flesh," verse 5, "do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And so I believe you're right on with that. I mean, the biggest struggle, because you have flesh that contacts the fleshly realm or the material realm, and you have your spirit that contacts the spiritual realm, is what are you doing with your mind? Where is it focused? Where's your energy? The energy of your emotions and your thoughts,
yeah.
Because that's what you'll end up creating. And if not instantaneously, you'll end up creating these things over a pattern of time where it becomes your identity.
Sherwood, what's your comments?
Absolutely. I agree. You know, whatever you give your energy to is what you're going to attract. And so if you give your energy to spirit, then you attract spiritual things. And then in attracting spiritual things, then you get established in a spiritual identity. You realize that you're no longer your own, but you're God's property, and his desire for you is to think thoughts as he thinks thoughts and to live life as Jesus did. So I absolutely agree with that. Makes sense.
The practical application of certain key phrases that are all over in the Bible, once again, in different language, by different people, in different books, so that there is a common denominator of communication with one simple message. There's nothing good of the flesh, and there's nothing good of the world. And so what James is saying is absolutely right, and it's backed up by this. You cannot be focusing on the flesh, which lives in the world, which has responsibilities and even fun things to do in the world, and at the same time expect your spirit or your soul or your true identity to be connecting with grace. Because if you could do that, then that means that there's no separation between the world, there's no separation between the flesh, and then that means that heaven and hell are literally coexisting together, which disputes everything in Scripture. There's a gray area that the overwhelming majority of people spend their lives, generation after generation, century after century, where they're really not bad enough for hell and they're really not good enough for heaven, because they haven't made a conviction and a commitment to either direction. Because nobody, neither negative energy or positive energy really has any real dog in the hunt of what happens on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about getting people to choose, either choose for bad things or choose for good things. And so if you don't make a choice, if you don't have a commitment, if you're not focused, if you're not going in some direction, you don't serve yourself. And if you can't serve yourself positively, how can you serve Christ?
I wanted to make a comment there, and then, of course, Sherwood, just jump right in here, and maybe we'll have another question too. But along the lines of what BJ was talking about choosing good or the choosing bad, I want to insert there so that people don't get the wrong idea and think to themselves in any way that we're talking about works. Choices, if you think about it as far as a relationship, whether it's somebody that you're dating or somebody you're fond of or whether it's a spouse, if you're in that relationship and you love that person and you're thinking of that person, what will happen naturally is you'll make choices that have to do with magnifying that relationship, blessing that individual, wanting to spend more time with them, wanting to be around them more, doing things that you know they would love for you to do. And that becomes your choice because of the relationship. It's not a duty that you're doing to get a relationship. It's the natural outflow. Don't you think, Sherwood?
I agree. And as a matter of fact, we got another question here along those lines. This is my cutie pie. This is Layla. my wife going to ask
hey,
you.
Hey, Layla.
Hello.
Good. What's your question?
How are you this evening, BJ?
Oh, I'm well. How are you? I was just trying to get some snacks in.
Okay, I understand that. I heard a ranger, she shook her collar or shook her, was she there
yeah,
with you?
Ranger has a bunch of small metal dog tags of all shapes and colors. What can I say? The girl likes to accessorize.
Right,
and
I understand that too.
And also the reason she has a lot of dog tags on is because it lets the livestock on the ranch know that she's walking around and stuff, so that they kind of keep an eye on her. So all the bigger animals on the ranch know that Jingle is somebody friendly and someone to keep an eye on.
Well, that's good. I have a comment and sort of a question. As I was listening to the story about how you were in that parking lot and your awareness was just, it's like you were sort of drawn to those specific situations and given understanding on those situations and then learned something from those situations. And as I was listening, what I was thinking about was that what all those situations had in common was that they were 100% self-focused. Each of the individuals, they were impatient, they were rude perhaps, they were just, and it was all because they weren't thinking about that person who was inconveniencing them in that moment. So if you could take that a step further, we're talking about the separation of spirit and flesh. If you take that a step further, if you're so focused on self and turned inward, that's another major hindrance to grace being exercised in your life. So I guess you could just say that even just plain old good-fashioned selfishness is also a major hindrance to,
well,
it's completely counterproductive to God working in your life.
Well, everything about Christ is mathematical, and it's compounded. The closer you become to grace, the more grace you have in your life, the less there is to pray about, because you have no cares and grace takes care of everything for you. The farther you are away from grace, the more things that more dramas, more issues you seem to have in your life. And talking to, and just to add to what you said, which was really good, is that now let's take this another step forward. Let's talk about pain. Let's talk about physical pain. Let's talk about emotional pain. Let's talk about financial troubles. Let's talk about dramas and issues that seem to haunt a person and keeps them from falling to sleep because they just can't get these worries and issues out of their mind to get a decent night's sleep. And when they wake up in the morning, it's just going to be another day concerned about these things. This is that identity. How are you identifying? What are you identifying to? Are you identifying as someone who lives in Christ, who was born with the gift of grace, or do you identify for someone that's in the world and is dealing with pain and dramas? Because if you acknowledge pain, if you acknowledge dramas, if you acknowledge issues, then it's literally impossible at the same time to acknowledge your spirit.
Yeah. That's good.
Because when you acknowledge your spirit, you're there. You have it. You don't have to spend money. You don't have to have a special pair of shoes. You don't have to say anything really profound. All you have to do is repent, which means change direction. If you use the phrase turn another cheek, turn the other cheek doesn't mean to let somebody beat up on you and just sit there like a doormat. Turn the other cheek means turn your head, turn your perspective, have another point of view, look at something else, listen to something else, go in a different direction.
Yeah, I want to say this for the sake of the people that are listening, of course, for everybody that's listening on the broadcast tonight. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to begin to share in a manner that I trust we'll have more opportunities like this down the road. But did you notice when BJ made the comment, when you acknowledge your spirit, you're there. Everybody get this, and it's amazing how the more religious you are, it's sad to say, the more it can take you some time to get simple again, because religion is all about going past simple into formats and programs and things that take you away from God in the simplicity of your relationship. But notice he said, when you acknowledge your spirit, you're there. And it has to be that simple, that really acknowledging your spirit on a regular basis, if you'll stop to recognize what you're doing, you'll find God's everywhere in that acknowledgement. And if you're not seeing that, then you're still clouded with this world and with the flesh. And it goes right back to the statement, there's nothing good of the world and there's nothing good of the flesh.
Sherwood, I know you're kind of on a spot. You can't really criticize that person's statement too bad, but what do you got to say?
Well, you know, I think about everybody's already been warned, so we're good.
Everybody's been warned. What did you warn them about, Sherwood? Is it about Jim? It's about Jim, isn't it? Jim, I told you.
That this is unscripted, off the cuff, not churchy.
Well, I just want to apologize to everybody in Eau Claire and to Sherwood and his family. You know, Jim gets off on these weird tangents and just brings up the most bizarre things. But it's his show, so you just have to respect that it's his radio show. But, you know, I just want everybody to know, I realize sometimes Jim just kind of goes off way out in left field. It can be embarrassing for my dog. Ranger? Come here, Ranger.
Yeah, we totally understand. You know, BJ, as you guys are talking, I remember something that I heard we discussed once, and I heard you say one time, and boy, it just resonates in my heart all the time. And one of the things that I remember you saying was, the real testimony of grace is that it simply gets ignored.
It does.
We have this unlimited, unrestricted love of God toward us, and we spend so much of our life worrying about insignificant things that keeps us connected to and aware of the flesh. And because we are so aware of the flesh, we've almost forgotten how to live as a spirit. And the only thing that we can live according to is a set of regimented rules and regulations that are imposed on us by others, and especially by people that have their own strange convictions.
If you look at different stories in the Bible, they're wonderful testimonies to day-to-day life, even today. If you get past Noah, you know, who built the world's biggest bass boat, if you get past Moses, who, you know, had to carry around, you know, what was it? Was it five or six or how many? What is there? 10 commandments. Well, I was close.
Right, 10.
And if you get past, what's the guy's name? Was it Tony and the Whale?
Yeah, that's good. We'll call him Tony. He's
Tony
Jonah,
or
Jonah. But
well, I was close. T and J aren't very far in the alphabet, you know. Don't be such a nitpicker. And if you get past these glorious testimonies of grace and these over-the-top amazing feats by people, they had to do something. Not to do these feats, but they had to do something very simple and basic just to be in a position to enjoy and to be a part of these things of Christ, this grace. And that was to turn their back on everything they knew to be real.
Yes.
Moses literally told his brother, you know what? I just met this guy. I'm going to go on this camping trip on this hill over there. You're my brother. Do me a favor. Take care of my family and just take care of all these thousands of people. I'm going camping with a guy named God. I'll see you when I see you. Bye-bye.
Yep.
And look at Noah. You know what? We're going to start collecting animals. And we're just going to build a really big boat. We're going to save the animals, but we're just going to watch those people down the street that weren't really friendly anyways. We're just going to watch everybody go for a really big swim. And it shows something. It shows that when you turn your back on what you believe to be real, you can enjoy grace. Look at the guy that couldn't see. He was blind as a bat. And Jesus says, there you go. And he says, well, I can't go anywhere. I can't go home. I can't see. And Jesus says, you know what? Been there, done that. I got the T-shirt. Just go. You're healed. And soon as he started walking,
right,
and he forgot about his life as a blind man, and he put his eyes aside,
right,
and he bought into heart and part and parcel with his soul that he had been touched by the love of God, his eyes we're free and clear.
Yeah. You know, the Message Bible there in Galatians 2, 20 and 21 really is great right now. And the way that it reads, it says, I identify, this is Paul talking, I identified myself completely with Christ. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, and I'm not going back on that. Is it not clear to you that to go back on that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that, to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. I think that fits here.
Where was that? Did you make that up?
No, that was in Galatians chapter 2, 20 and 21.
Seriously?
In the Message Bible, yeah.
That's in the book?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be darned. That's not bad.
No, that's pretty good, isn't it?
We got a text message here. It's from Forklift Nick. If you don't know who Forklift Nick is, Nick is a guy that lives in the southern part of the USA, and his job is at a warehouse in the middle of the night loading pallets of horse food and cattle feed and pig feed and sheep feed at a feed company. He loads semi-trucks all night long, and on Tuesday nights, he listens to us as he drives his forklift. Forklift Nick wishes everyone a Happy New Year. And remember, folks, if you're in Eau Claire, you can pick up your little machines, and you can send a text as well. The first word that you type in your text message is the word grace. And then once you type grace, you can type your rest of your comment or question, and you send it to this five-digit number, 69302, 69302. The same thing goes for emails, everybody, whether you're in Eau Claire with Sherwood and his family or you're around the globe. We love emails. It's the name of the radio show, The Abiding Presence at Gmail, G as in Grandma's Gravy, Gmail. com. With us tonight is Sherwood Wilson, his entire group in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Sherwood, I want to ask you a question. Are you still there, or did you go out for mashed potatoes and gravy?
No, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Okay. The question I want to ask you is let's talk about identity, because I'm sure, how long have you been pasteurizing now?
Oh, pasteurizing here, I don't know. I say all kinds of numbers. I don't know. Somewhere between 2 and 5 years.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that somebody has lost a job, or that somebody was lost a loved one, they died, or they got a divorce or abducted by aliens or something. And they I'm talking about their identity, because they come to you for solace and counseling, which I'm sure you're probably pretty good at. And they say, what am I going to do? That person was my world. That was my job. That's who I am. Because when someone loses a job, say they're a carpenter, and someone says, well, you know what? There's a lot more things in life than being a carpenter. I know somebody that needs somebody to be a janitor at a school. And they say, well, I'm a carpenter. I'm not a janitor. I don't want that kind of job, because it shows that their self-identity is what they do to make a living. And if someone loses a loved one, they say, well, I was a wife. I was a husband. I was a brother. I was a sister. And now I'm not. They're different, but yet they're the same, because it shows how easily people's identity, the view of the person they see in the mirror, is tied to things that literally keep away from the identity they were born with, which is a child of God. Do you see this?
Absolutely. You know, of course, you know, while you're pasteurizing, you are going to get all of those kinds of things that are going to come up. And my sincere response to those types of challenges that people are having is simply, you know, what the Bible says. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1, it says, count it all joy. As a matter of fact, I think the Message Bible says, consider it to be a joyous occasion when you fall into diverse temptations or tests or trials, knowing that the testing of your belief system worketh patience. And it says, but let patience have her perfect work in you, entire and complete, wanting nothing. So my job, when I hear those things, is to convince a person that they are on the verge of accepting an illegal outcome or an illegal reality. And as a matter of fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, he says, for our light and momentary afflictions, this slight distress of the passing hour. So whether that's the loss of a job or a loved one or any other challenge, it says it's evermore and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. And the last it says, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, those things which are in this world, but to the things which are unseen, those are the spiritual truths and the realities of God. It says, for the things which are visible are temporal, brief and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. And so my primary job as a pastorizer is to let people, help people to embrace the reality of God. And just sometimes, and sometimes it kind of gets hard because naturally what you want to do is you want to pacify someone in an illegal state or condition. You want to say, oh, it's going to be all right, when you really want to say, shut up, and what are you talking about? That's not a reality that we're supposed to be embracing. And so I try to get them to see that there is a reality that grace provides for us that we must embrace and accept.
Jim, I see you over there nodding your head, listening to Sherwood.
Well, I'm enjoying it. I always enjoy what Pastor Sherwood has to say. We've had a great relationship down through the years, and I learn a lot, and we definitely stir one another up. And it made me think, Sherwood, of Philippians chapter 3, and starting in verse 3 in the Message Bible. I think this is really good. And everything you said and what BJ said wrapped up in the message Paul conveyed when he said, the real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work away at his ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it. Even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials, you know, my pedigree, a limited birth, a legitimate birth, circumcised the eighth day, an Israelite from the tribe, elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's law, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, even to the point of persecuting Christians, a meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all these things I once thought were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog done. Hey, dog. Talks about dog. Come on, Ranger. See, there you go.
PJ did that. I know he did.
It was just spontaneous. Ranger heard dog. And he said, I've dumped it all in the trash so I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ. And then the last thing I'll say is, Paul said, Ranger, this is good, isn't it? I gave up all the inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally.
Ranger, what do you say? What do you say? Ranger, what do you say?
Good girl, Ranger. That's okay. My girl.
Wow. We heard from the guys. Wow, that's really something.
Well, remember, what dog is spelled backwards?
We know that's not God.
What do you mean you know that's not God? What are you talking about?
Was it God speaking to you out of the heavenlies? Boy, I heard something really... that's...
That threw you for such a loop, you're speechless, Sherwood. apparently, you need a little pasteurizing picker-upper.
No, well, you know, there's a lot of air here, so everybody's sound is going through the building, and I mean, it's and it sounds very like Moses and the Ten Commandments kind of y. You know what I mean? Kind of like reverberating through the ceiling here.
Then, folks, if you just logged on, welcome to our New Year's Eve celebration and a message. We've got Sherwood from he's been on the show many times. Sherwood Wilson up at Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and he's got a nice little group going on. He's got a real nice little church, the Living Word Church. And it's really good. We got another text message. It says, Ranger is really something. She is. She actually just had her eighth birthday on the she's 8 years old. She's a female chocolate lab. Her birthday is the 19th of September. She's a Sagittarius. And anyways, we got some emails here, and I know we got some questions on your end, don't we, Sherwood? We got to get to these emails. And remember, yes, folks, you can email the show. Let me see here. Where's our first email? Our first email, I love this. It says, hey, BJ, Jim, and Ranger, wishing each of you blessings in New Year, and may your show reach far and wide as more new listeners connect. It's been so refreshing to hear your teaching. So excited to recognize grace all around. Thank you, thank you. Grandpa and Grandma and their two dogs, Daisy and Petey. You know what? I bet this is the Grandma and Grandpa in Morgan Hill, California. That are related to Sue in Livermore, whose brother and brother-in-law and sister are who met Sherwood from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Yeah. Dave and Barb.
Yeah.
You know, Grandma and Grandpa, their kids are grown. They're in California. The weather's really good. I think he should get like a Harley, and maybe get a sidecar for Grandma. And then, you know, maybe they could carry snacks. They could haul around their two dogs with them.
Well, I know they're enjoying
themselves. When he's not shooting gophers. Yeah. You know, I keep saying this. I bet Grandma feeds the gophers. And when she's not feeding them, Grandpa looks out the after back porch with his .22 and is taking pot shots at the gophers.
I bet he has a good time.
I know a lot of older people that do that. Grandma puts corn out for the squirrels and Grandpa shoots the squirrels. Laugh if you want.
This is a country thing, isn't it?
All right, let's show Sherwood, help me out here. Let's have a show of hands in Eau Claire. How many people know a grandma that puts corn out for the squirrels and grandpa shoots the squirrels and complains about them? Show of hands.
All right. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, at least eight people.
There you go. And Jim, why did you look at me like I didn't know what?
Well, I don't know. Like I said, it's a country thing. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, it's
a country thing.
Yeah.
Well, you are such just a little city boy with those ridiculous, dumb little short socks.
Well, I wear those with sneakers, to just have you know.
Let me tell you something. Anybody who calls their shoes sneakers and their socks don't even cover their ankle bones, and you come out to the ranch, you're lucky that the barn cats don't demand a passport. It gets worse, Sherwood. Have you heard that even the cowgirls on the ranch give Jim a hard time about his clothes and his shoes?
Oh, my goodness. Jim, you're getting some sympathy moans on this.
Hey, thanks very much. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
They do, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. It's really bad when 110-pound, soaking wet, 23-year-old cowgirl looks at you and she says, I'm more macho dressing than he is. Do you have any questions there, Sherwood?
Yes, we've got a guest here that's got a question, and so what's your question?
So my question is, as a single mother of three grown sons and two grandchildren, my identity is different than I would have thought at this point in my life. What godly advice do you have to give me so I can pioneer a path for them to follow?
I think that you should party very hard. you've earned it. You've got your service stripes. It sounds like you've paid your dues. I think that you should show them that grandma's got her groove on. I think I'm being serious here. I spent most of my life in my younger years with guys and women that came through World War II and Korea. And they knew that every day outside of war was gravy. They understood what was a good day and what was a bad day. And my grandparents, I spent more time with my grandparents than I did anybody else. And the older they got, the more free they were with their love for each other and the world.
It's good.
And the more easygoing they were because they could see the folly of life, the ridiculous of worrying about things. And I've never, ever met anybody that was on the verge of dying who said, I wish I would have put in more overtime at work. I wish I would have got that raise. I wish I would have done this, because what they say is, I wish I would have had more fun, spent more time with my family. I wish I would have done this. I think it's time for you to really explore and be creative and to show your family that there is life, that there is enjoyment, that yes, you should be responsible and you should be the best person you can, but there are so many different avenues and so many roads of life that can be enjoyable with grace, that so that possibly you can show them through the example of roads that are a waste of time to take.
I'll add on to that as I began to appreciate the grace of God more than just being a very big theological word or more than a word that was in a song, and began to see that God's grace just didn't save me, but God's grace is everywhere for me to experience. Here's the first thing that happened with me. I began to notice little things. And one very attracting thing about a person from another person is an individual who finds such joy in little things, because everybody really wants to, but people get too wrapped up in the big affairs of life and they get too serious.
Well, the real testimony of a Christian isn't saying God is good, God is great, and I go somewhere to worship five times a week and I give them most of my free disposable income. No, the real testimony of a Christian is to show what grace is doing for you.
Yeah, to testify.
To testify, to show the real testimony, the real testifying of a person who has a relationship with God is that grace is allowing you to enjoy what you can,
right,
and that you let go of those things. Like the grandparents in Morgan Hill, California, Harley Davidson makes a tricycle. It's the seats are heated. They've got helmets that can talk to each other. You can't tip the thing over because it weighs as much as a house, and it's got three wheels, and it's bigger than a motorcycle. They could go get one of those.
Yeah, you know, interesting enough, think of how simple it would be to walk around in your house. Maybe you do this already, but just enjoying the very simplistic things of grace. You have such an amazing attitude. You've got a smile on your face. You're singing a song. And kids come home or those loved ones around you, they say, okay, why is she in a good mood?
Yeah.
Or, Mom, what's going on? You're like, never like really like this anymore. What's happening? And you make some very simple thought like, you know, I'm just enjoying every bit of this day. And I appreciate so much that God's actually with me. This is great.
Well, it's like what I say on the show on a regular basis is it's like when you were a kid. And you don't even want to go to school because you didn't get your homework done. Or you find out that you didn't get your homework done and you didn't study and there's a test today and you know that you're going to flunk this test before the class happens. It destroys your whole day. You come around, you do the test, you know you're not going to do a good grade, and it literally is your life. I'm dead. My life is over. This is a really big deal. If you went to someone who is in their 20s, not alone their 40s, 50s, or 60s.
Right.
If you went to somebody that's out of
school
only by 5 years and you said, do you remember that biology when you didn't do the homework and you were scared to death and you said your life was over because you only got a D on the test? They'd look at you and they'd say, are you stupid? Who cares? That was high school. I was a kid. What do you think that the scripture means? It says when you were a kid, you did kid things, and now that you're adult, you leave the kid things behind. Find that in a book somewhere, would you, Jim?
Yeah.
Sherwood, did Grandma, did she like the answers?
She's waving her hand and smiling.
She waving her hand and smiling because she likes the answer, or is she waving her hands and smiling and say, yeah, this section needs a cocktail?
No, she was waving she was waving her hand and smiling because she really, really liked that answer.
Well, let me tell you something. You really don't have to worry about having a drinking problem if you love Grace, because any guy that turns wine into water isn't exactly abstaining.
You know, another thing, you know, to add to what you guys are saying, and by the way, I really, really, really like that. That was pretty cool. When you rid yourself of all of the weight and the stresses of life and just start loving life, as you just giving her some good sound advice to do, it gives you an opportunity to experiment with grace.
Well, it does, because it really breaks my heart to see so many people that, I mean, they're nicer than I am. They've had they've been a better citizen of their community than I've been. I mean, they are just all around better people than I've ever had a desire to be, and they work so hard and they try so hard to achieve a relationship with the guys, and it's like trying to dress, pray, worship, work hard, and be the best person you can be because you want to have a relationship with your own shadow. And you work every day because you want that shadow. You know you deserve that shadow. And you know that once you have a connection with your shadow, you can truly be yourself. But you're so busy trying to do it that as you're in the middle of walking across the parking lot of the mall, and it's 12 noon, it's dinner time, it's 12 noon, you're so busy worrying about your shadow, working, earning it, deserving it, if you just stopped, shut up, and said, wait a minute, I was born with the ability to enjoy my own shadow. It's right here with me. It always has, and it always will be.
Right.
Now take shadow out and put God's love and grace in.
Yep.
Are so they there? Good. They hung up.
Here, that's good stuff. You know.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I thought you guys hung up.
No. I'm just, you know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I call it my grace workout verse. You know, because when your life is free and you're able to enjoy the fruit and the benefits of grace and enjoy and experiment with grace, which means you got to have commitment, you got to have conviction. You know, 1 Timothy 4:6-10 says, you've been raised on the message of faith and have followed sound teaching. Now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus there. I would say, so you have time to hang out with grace and have some experiences with grace, then pass it on to someone else. And it says, and you'll be a good servant of Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so. Yeah. Make yourself fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. This is why we've thrown ourselves into this venture so totally. We're banking on the living God, Savior of all men and women, especially believers. So that's who we're banking on. You can rest when you say, hey, grace is already taken care of it. The love of God is already taken care of it. It's just enjoy it and experiment with it.
There you go, folks. Now that's some serious pasteurizing. Give them a hand there, folks. Give them a hand. Okay.
No,
it was.
It's good. It's good radio right there.
You know what? That sounded good. This is what I want to do. On the count of three, everybody in Eau Claire, I want you to clap and shout and just raise the roof because it sounded really cool here in the barn. One, two, three.
Woo!
And folks, I just want to warn you, we're coming to a town near you soon. But That's it, folks. When you can pay for tickets, but you'll be on the edge of your seat when it comes to Grace, and it's a free seat. Sherwood, you got such a great group there, and there's so many of them. I want to make an open invitation right now to anybody in Eau Claire. Somebody's walking around with a microphone or got cards or something. I want you to ask anything that you want to ask that has nothing to do with what we've talked about so far. This is the first time we've done this.
Yeah.
And I think it's time in the show right now to just open up the door to anything and everything that you want to ask. Don't be shy. There's no such thing as a dumb, stupid, or ridiculous question. Well, there is, and I'll let you know. But let's just let your folks there have some fun and let them ask. Has anybody got any questions?
Yes, Melanie Simon, she and her husband Denny, they listen to the program quite a bit along with their son Lee. They're wonderful people. So Melanie's going to ask you a question right now. So go ahead, Melanie.
How's it going, Melanie?
It's going well.
Happy New Year. What's your New Year's resolution?
Well, I'm not really big into resolutions, but just looking forward to 2014. Greater things than 2013, and 2013 was pretty incredible.
Well, that's great. You know, I have the same New Year's resolution every year. I want to die on the first of the month when all my bills are due with a hot fudge sundae on my breath. And that's my goal in life. It has been since I was a sophomore in high school. I said, yeah, I just want to die on the first of the month when all the bills are due and none of those utility companies get their cash, because I'm deader than a can of corned beef and I got a smile on my face because I just had a hot fudge sundae. I think that's a good way to go. What do you think, Melanie?
Well, BJ, don't go tomorrow because we'll all feel pretty sad.
Oh, well, that was sweet. Thank you.
We're expecting possibly that you would come up here and if you can tolerate the cold.
Well, I probably shouldn't say this because I'm going to paint myself into a corner, but my family has been in the horse business for a little over 400 years. I'm actually 11th generation at what I do, working with horses. My family has been on this continent since the early 1600s. My family actually had the first livery stable in the Commonwealth of New Jersey. And it just so happens that there's a little town called Burlington, Wisconsin. Have you ever heard of it?
We have.
Okay, well, I used to go to Burlington, Wisconsin once a year because Burlington, Wisconsin is very important in the horse world. Did you know that?
No. I had no idea.
Okay, there's a family-owned business. It's been around for many generations. It's called Centaur Forge, and it is the capital of the world for horseshoeing equipment, for knife-making forges and for making shoes and for pads and nails and farrier equipment. I mean, they have everything. And they're so old, and my family is so old, that they know of us because my family has been customers since they were in business. So what I would do is I'd call them up on the phone. They recognize my voice. I don't know why. And I'd say, well, I'm coming your way. And so I'd go to Burlington and they'd get a motel room for me. And they'd tell me where all the best snacks were in town. And then I would dump a couple grand on and load my pickup truck up full of equipment and then turn around and go home. So I've been to Wisconsin many times.
But so when was the last time you were here in Wisconsin?
The last time I was in Wisconsin was in July after first cutting of hay. No, it was the end of June, the first cutting of hay of 1996 was the last time I was in Burlington.
And, you need to take a trip, BJ.
And I had to switch motels because the manager said that they had a policy against having miniature horses in the motel rooms.
All right. Let me ask a question. Let her go ahead and ask the question here.
The last time you were here, Jim, when we were at the restaurant, I think you'll remember it.
Right.
You were really tired, but you said something that really I thought was pretty profound, and I wanted to, maybe if you want to elaborate, Jim, and if you want to add to this, BJ, but you said, Jim, that you were practicing mindlessness, where you could quiet your mind and you could hear God better.
Yeah.
And hear God more clearly.
Yeah, he got that from me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would like to understand that better because I struggle with that myself. It's really hard for me to quiet my mind.
Well, yeah.
I can do it, but it's a struggle. Any thoughts on that, on tips or suggestions?
I already shared some things with her, so you share
you
what
sure?
she would say. Yeah,
because she asked you.
Yeah, but no, you share.
Well, that's good because I hardly ever get to say anything on the show. Okay. The first time I went home was actually in a building. It wasn't a church. It was a building. And Jim had one of his little teaching classes going on. And he literally said, you need to clear your thoughts, clear your mind, and forget about your body.
Listen to your spirit.
And actually, everybody was gone. And Jim had to actually come over and
smack you on the shoulder.
Yeah, he had to smack me on the shoulder because I literally was gone. I went home. And when I woke up, I guess I had a look on my face that he knew I'd went somewhere.
Oh,
and it wasn't the restroom. And then a couple hours later, I went home again for a couple of hours. And at first it was a major struggle. I had to turn, I have an aquarium in my home, so I had to turn the aquarium off because the sound of the filtration system and the bubbles. I had to close all the curtains and drapes because of sunlight. I took a couple of clocks on the wall and took the batteries out of them because I could hear the clicks. And then I realized that I wasn't going home because I was actually conscious of the way my Wranglers felt against my legs sitting in the chair.
Wow.
And Ranger's dog tags, I could hear her breathing, and if she moved, I could hear the jingle. And what I found out was if I was even acknowledging these simple, stupid, ridiculous things, and if they were really preventing me from having a hug from God, then it really showed how easily man is distracted and how far off we are. Now, the more I went home, the easier it became. It got to a point where I could literally be driving down the road and I would travel 20 miles. I couldn't tell you what intersections I went through, if the lights were red or green, how many cars were around me. I wouldn't know whether it was midnight or high noon, but I got to my destination because I was spending the whole time in grace with the guys. I was literally clueless to what I was doing in my truck. Then the next step was I knew where I was. I knew what I was doing. I just didn't care. It just didn't matter. It didn't matter whether the light was green or red, or if there was two cars in front of me, if somebody cut me off, if somebody was honking because I was going too slow. It just didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was time to eat because I wasn't hungry, because I was making a simple choice. Okay, I could be hungry, I could be in a hurry, I could worry about the road conditions, or I can spend time with the guys. That's really a no-brainer.
Right.
And so now my relationship with the guys has developed that now I'm always home. There is no more journey. They're with me all the time. It's that shadow.
Right.
At first, you have to stop and think about your shadow. Then you have to move about so you can see your shadow move. But eventually, you enjoy your shadow because you don't have to look at it. You don't have to worry about the position of the sun because you know it's always been there and it always will be. Does this make any sense?
Yep.
Yes. Wow. You know, the Bible says, that was wonderful. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26 You know, there's a word that the Bible uses all the time, which is the word peace. And the word peace means that there's nothing scattered, missing, or broken in your life. And that's what grace does. It makes us whole. It makes us have nothing missing, nothing scattered, and nothing broken. And Isaiah 26:3 says that you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed steadfast because they trust in you. And it means that word trust there, it means to rely on God as your most vital necessity. And I love that what you said, because that's just what you just described. You were in perfect peace. God was the frame. In the frame of your thinking, God was at the center of everything that you wanted to focus on. And so, therefore, you just lived in the reality of the presence of God, lived where they are. That's just awesome.
The last thing I'd like to add is that there's a really big piece of misinformation. That the closer you are to God, the more reverent you are, the more that you pray, and that literally it's just the opposite, because the closer you are to the guys and the more you live in grace, what is there a need for? What is it? What exactly do you ask for? I find myself at least between 80-90 times a day, sometimes over 100 times today. A day, I actually find myself thanking grace. I thank them for things that people don't know about. We've talked about it in past shows, Jim, how people, they overlook the grace in their life, because if they could see that grace, right, then they would see that they already have grace, but they overlook it. I mean, since this radio show has started tonight, I've thanked grace 9 times already in the barn for things that are of grace. Mm-hmm. Think about it. If it tells you not to worry about what you wear, where you live, what you eat, and if they take care of the birds and the bees and the trees, why wouldn't they take care of somebody that's made in their own image? He's our Father. We're His child. Exactly what kind of needs and wants would we really have?
Right.
And so the wants and needs are money to pay bills, to keep a relationship together, not to get fired, to have more money for a second vacation home, better Christmas gifts. I want to be thinner. I want to be heavier. I want to be taller. I want to be shorter. I want to be better looking. I want to be this. I want to do that. Those really, what do those have to deal with your spirit? They don't.
Well, but as you make mention of those, look at how important they are to individuals who then are unaware that they are a spirit. And that's what that conversation, Melanie, when we were talking at the table there with everyone, that's the reason why I was saying God just put it on my heart. Things that, you know, that we've talked about here in the barn, but, you know, through my journey, put it on my heart to begin to practice. Even if it were just 5 minutes a day, getting my mind quiet, which I'm learning now to do, which your mind goes blank, and instantaneously you locate your heart, your spirit, and you recognize, the more you do it, how real the Holy Ghost is, or how real God is on the inside. Yeah. And the more I do that, the more real He becomes. And it doesn't take long now to recognize it. In fact, while I'm talking to you right now, instantly my heart's full of knowledge of God. Well, that has to become the pattern of the life. And the more that you do that, it's like stepping stones into what you might call walking into a pool where you just get saturated.
Melanie, did we help you at all?
She doesn't have the mic, but she's smiling. Hold on just a second. Did they help you?
Yes.
Does anybody else have a question?
Let's see. Anyone else have a question? Doesn't look like anyone's raising. Yep, someone does have a question.
We scared them, Sherwood. We scared them.
No, they're not. They're in. They're listening. They're attentive.
Well, actually, it's not really a question. It's more like a comment. But ever since,
this is Rebecca,
past,
by the way.
Yeah, my name is Rebecca. And ever since Jim was in here, I think was here in June. I think it was
August.
I have become a less compassionate mother to my children from hearing the story that you told your daughter
about, and I kind of say this in a funny way, because when you told us that story about your daughter when she was injured as a gymnast and you asked her if she wanted to hobble around all of Europe or if she on crutches or if she didn't want to. So from then on, now when I hear my kids complain of their stomach hurting or I get hurt, I just say, you know, shrug it off. You're a spirit. And that whole concept that you showed me and showed all of us with your finger and then your hands over and saying that we are a spirit, you know, and our body is just a tent has changed my life. And I can't tell you how much your teaching and listening to your radio program has impacted my life and how I'm moving in a direction and in a way that I would have, that I never could have conceived, because it's so radical. But it connects with me because I want to be radical. And I just want to thank you for the impartation of what God has shown you and for the fearlessness that you have in this calling in your life and how it's contagious to the people that you come across who have the same desire in their own life for the kingdom expansion. And I just want to thank you for that.
Well, this is great that it's...
Yep, some donuts.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. I mean, it's great to see that things are actually beginning to materialize for you. But I would just challenge you on one thought, and that is you're not becoming less compassionate.
No, it's
you're
just
actually
the
becoming,
opposite.
Exactly. You're becoming more compassionate because compassion...
She was sarcastic, Jim.
Oh, she was?
You couldn't see the smile.
Oh, okay, 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 okay. Well, then obviously you know that the compassion is something that is spiritual, and by just treating situations and revealing what's spiritual and showing what's really of the flesh and ridiculous is the most compassion and love that you could actually give to your kids. So I think you're doing great.
Hey, Jim, BJ, we're going to have to cut out here. We've got some restless young ones, but I just want to thank you so much for just allowing us to be a part of the show. I think everyone here, just by their expressions, I think they really enjoyed it and really liked it. So we really, really want to say thank you, and we'll definitely have to do this again sometime.
Well, we do. And also, I want to tell everybody that's up in Eau Claire, we just got an email I want to read. It says, Paul Harvey from Eau Claire here. I was wondering when the Holy Spirit came into the world, if it was after Jesus left or before, and if it was after he left, what about Simeon in Luke 2:25? We'll answer that question, but I want to let everybody there in Eau Claire know that once this show is over, in about another 20 minutes or so, it'll take me about 15 to 20 minutes to get it upload, and it'll be streaming this evening. And once it's streaming, it'll repeat itself, loop, 24 hours, 7 days a week until next Tuesday night's live broadcast. So in about just a little after 10 o'clock, about 10:05 or 10:10 Central Time, this show will start over, and the part that you're not going to be a part of now, you'll be able to catch up and hear. I want to thank you and welcome you all to the show, and they were great questions. And give yourself a big round of applause.
Bless you, Sherwood. Thanks so much for the experience.
And everybody take care up there. Sherwood, what kind of food you guys going to eat? That's what I want to know.
You know, I don't know. Someone tell me what's out there, Abby.
M&M's.
Oh, I heard M&M's chocolate. That German chocolate cake. Oh, man.
Yeah, that sounds good. But we got snacks here. Yeah. I knew you guys weren't going to share, so I brought my own.
Yes.
All right. Good night, everybody. And,
good night.
And take care up there. Happy New Year.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, folks. That was Pastor Sherwood Wilson up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, with the Living Word Church. And by the way, it is a church. Okay. Jim and I were here in the barn. We've been here all night. It is the 31st of December, 2013, the last Tuesday of the month in 2014 is going to be a good year. Jim, I want to go back to Paul's comment here. Do you want me to read it again?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. It says, Paul Harvey from Eau Claire here. I was wondering when the Holy Spirit came into the world, if it was after Jesus left or before, and if it was after he left, what about Simeon in Luke 2.25? Do you know what he's talking about? While you're looking that up, folks, we got plenty of time for text messaging. You can text the show. It's easy to text the show. The first word that you type in your text message is the word grace, and then you send it to this 5-digit high-speed text number, 69302. That's 69302. If you want to send an email, you can send an email to theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Jim and I are here. It's a Tuesday night, like always. We're live from the barn. New Year's Eve in the United States is still several hours away. And so participate. Make your comments. Ask questions, any question that you would like. And you know what would be neat?
What's that?
Well, if they kept the internet connection in that room, so if people could go get stuff to eat and then come back and listen to the show.
Sure, they could.
I should have asked them about that.
Yeah.
I wonder if they turned us off or if they just turned Skype off. I wonder if they're still listening.
Maybe they had some skits or something or whatever.
Oh,
I don't know. They might have had a whole program, so who knows.
Okay. I thought that they were done and they were going to eat now.
I loved what we just did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Do you think it worked?
I do, and I'm sitting here the whole time thinking, Lord, we got to be able to do this more.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved the live audience. Man, yep. That adds so much to what we're doing.
You know what we need to do is since we're using Skype, we need to get probably, if we were doing this more, well, you know what we need to do is get cameras in the barn, maybe. I don't know how that would work. What are you laughing at?
Oh, yeah. Woo! That'd be fun for them to just to look at us
Well, they would see that there's a bag of potato chips on the table. They'd see Ranger. You know, I mean, yeah. Well, I don't know.
It might be fun for them to see us.
I don't know if it'd work or not. We got so many computers in here now.
Yeah.
And we're talking about expanding.
We could possibly put up a little camera right there that had a broad stroke on it.
Maybe.
See us all.
Or maybe something like this, like my back coming
right.
This way. I don't know.
Well, this question that's asked by Paul, did you say Luke 2:2 or Luke 2:5 or
Luke 2:25?
Oh, 2:25.
Yeah. Well, he's got two, and then he's got semicolons 2:5.
Okay.
And he's talking about somebody named. Did I say that right? Simeon. Is there somebody in the book named Simeon?
Okay, well, yeah, yes, and as far as your question is concerned, it can be answered real simply. It's not as though the Holy Spirit wasn't in the earth. I mean, think about it. The very first personality that was mentioned was the Holy Spirit back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep, and then God spoke and said, "Let there be light." So the Holy Spirit from the very beginning of creation was in the earth. It's just that when man chose to be independent, it kept God or man and God at a distance from each other, where every man born into the earth was not able to experience God like they should experience God. So man with a sinful nature could have an experience with God, but it wasn't on the inside, the inner man. And this is what you're talking about here with Simeon. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Holy Ghost was upon him. Well, you'll find that in every situation in the Old Testament where people had experiences with God and great and wonderful testimonies took place, it's because the Holy Spirit was with them. But in the New Covenant, when Jesus died and he rose again and he provided a way for everyone to have an individual, personal relationship with God, then you see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2 was so that everybody could get in on and from a different position, not just the Spirit coming upon you, but everybody could be drawn to God from your heart, from the inside of man. And that is now the condition that every person on the earth has. And that's why grace is so readily available for all of us.
Grace was around before Jesus. Grace was around before John the Baptist. Grace was around before Abraham, because grace is Christ. And you can see grace in the book of Genesis.
Sure you can. You see it in every book.
Yeah. And so to ask where grace is, what came first, or where grace is, you have to understand when I use the term the guys, it might be confusing. Think of your hand, okay? you have a middle finger, a pointer finger, an index finger, a baby finger, and you have your thumb. And they're all connected to your hand. And depending on what you're doing and how you do it, someone might say, how did you do that? And you'd say, well, I just grabbed it with my right hand. Or someone might say, well, how did you make that? And you could say, well, I took my thumb and my forefinger and I put them together. Or someone might say, how did you have the strength to do that? Well, actually, I just wrapped all my fingers around it and I held on tight with my right hand. So what you're doing are they separate, but yet they're connected together. So you have God, you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, you have grace. I see them as four facets of the same love that do separate things, but yet they're together, they're connected, and they're not just similar, they're actually the same thing. So it's like your hand. Now, when it comes to grace and you look at the book of Genesis, it was there. Adam and Eve, they didn't lose grace. They turned their back on grace. And we got a text that says, what's the best way to control your mind and to stay focused? Thanks. Happy New Year. Jim, what's the best way for you? It says, what's the best way to control your mind and stay focused? I like that. That's a text message that just came in.
Okay. Well, it goes back to, again, a consistency. For instance, and this is where I'm at, folks. I continue to progress, and I still find myself at times just, what's a better way to say it? Almost having like a brain lapse, and the next thing you know, you're right back into just kind of living in the world, just going about the daily business, and you think to yourself a couple hours later, my goodness, I mean, I've not even been conscious of God, of the guys, of Jesus, of the awareness of grace or the Holy Spirit. And so I am working myself to continue to keep my thoughts on the Lord, and here's what I asked the answer of the question, consistency. So I'll give you a scripture over here where Paul says, to Timothy, who's a young man, and he's trying to help him in the ministry, and he says, I put you in remembrance that you would stir up the gift of God which is in you by the laying out of my hands. In other words, Paul's saying, stir this up. On purpose, make yourself become conscious of God. Because what you become conscious of God with consistency will become a new pattern. And this is one of the greatest problems that we have. And this is why we've talked about identity. People identify with their patterns, with their rituals, with the way that they do life. And if that way of life isn't conducive to experiencing God, you've got to change that. And so you've heard this phrase in maybe some of the old timers. They'd say, practice the presence of God. Well, what is that? It's being mindful of Him. And my thought to you is, do this consistently. That's why the Lord told me. He wasn't trying to say, you know, sit there and meditate on me for 40 hours. He said, just take multiple times a day, 5 minutes, and just literally clear your mind, become conscious of who you are. And it begins like a building block to just literally becoming easier and easier and easier until you find yourself. And if you'll notice BJ's testimony, he didn't just step into what he's in right now the very first time. It was a process.
It was a process, and I like this. We just got an email. It's from a guy named Mike from Montreal, Canada.
Good, good.
And it says, what do you mean by going home specifically? Do you mean visiting Heaven City or the throne room of God or both? I don't mean either one of those. What I mean is home is being in the Spirit and enjoying mm-hmm. grace. Mm-hmm. It's like, think of it this way. You have your parents, and whether you go to your parents' home or you're on a family vacation, wherever your parents are, if it's a restaurant, yep. a motel, or you're in a car, there's an essence of security, an essence of pleasure, and an essence of safety and love. Home. Home is where the heart is. Is your heart with God or is your heart with the world? And so wherever your family is, if things are good and you're enjoying that time, that's a certain feeling of home. And so that's what I mean by going home, is going home to my father, to my parent, to Christ, to the guys. And so I thought that was a great question. I hope it would be so cool if people were eating German chocolate cake and M&Ms, you know, like
right,
me, shoveling food in their mouths, and they're still listening to us.
Well, maybe it's possible that
I don't know.
Now, I really like your answer to that.
Because, oh, you did?
Well, because I think this is another one of the possible twisted mentalities, that everything about God has to be a place. The place is actually the experience with Him.
Well, but there's a reason why there has to be a place. It has to do with the business of religion. It has to do with the contrived scandal of worshiping in a certain location.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that means that you've got something to do, and you have to do it in a certain place, and you have to do it a certain way.
Right.
Which is really just a recipe for what?
Right.
Manipulation and control.
Even think of this. What kind of home experience did Paul have in the jail?
Yeah.
It was tremendous.
Well, look, I've talked about that. Think of the days back then where there were people dying on the street of starvation. They didn't have any place to live. I mean, you talk about the homeless today. The homeless today is nothing like people that were homeless and had nothing back in the days of Jesus.
Hmm.
Well, look at Paul. He gets thrown in jail. He gets food. He gets water. They don't really torture him, but they also give him...
Yeah, parchment.
They give him paper and pen.
Yeah.
And not only do they let him write whatever he wants, they make sure it gets sent to the right person.
Yeah. And then he's able to contact people and say, hey, I'm cold. Would you bring me a coat?
In modern day times, Paul would be having Chinese food and pizza delivered to the jail.
In the penthouse.
He'd have internet access and a cell phone.
Right.
And he could say, you know, it's a little cold. Would you go to Walmart and buy me a coat and drop it on by the jail?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's absurd to think about those types of graces and luxuries. And realize the conditions he was in.
Well, that's
how could that not be grace?
But isn't that why, with all of the things that Paul went through, which were for the sake of the gospel, preaching something and the persecutions that came against him, all of those things that he went through, he considered them as nothing?
Yeah.
Well, you can only do that because you're conscious of something else.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're huge. They're trouble.
Yeah.
I have a horrible life. But Paul believed he had an amazing life because he was literally going through it with the Lord.
We just got an email. It's not even a minute old. It says, thank you so very much for tonight's show. It was great to have Pastor Sherwood and his Creamettes included. Oh, I wish they could hear
That's
this.
Good.
It says, I did not go to the service as it is 10 here. And it is a 35-mile drive. I didn't know she was that close to Eau Claire. Lily the Lumber Lady?
Oh, well, she came to the service in Eau Claire.
Yeah, she said it's almost 10 there. Because it'd be... Are they an hour ahead of us in Wisconsin?
No, same as us.
Oh, it says, as it is 10 here, and it's a 35-mile drive. The subject of our identity is very real to me. I used to always say... Know my horses, know me. Identified through my horses. Wow. Is she really talking?
Yeah.
And it says, this is eye-opening and goes straight to the heart. Happy New Year to Ranger, Jim, and BJ.
Hey,
thank you for all you do for our listeners. And we just got a text. It says, New Jersey wishes you all an awesome New Year.
Oh, that's great. That's
I hope everybody starts sending hellos and highs. I like them. What were you going
to
say, Jim?
Oh, just to Lily, how are you walking? Remember, we ministered to her, and she put her staff into her house and put it on the wall.
Oh, that was her?
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about that. I didn't correlate that to Lily the Lumber Lady.
Yep.
Well, she can put that on. She's a lumber
that's
girl.
Right, that's right.
She's a wood girl. She's got plenty of stuff around. Folks, remember, you can text the show. It's easy. Grace is the first word that you type, and then you send that to 69302. There's still plenty of time to text and send emails. And by the by, Grace has a Facebook page. Sherwood does. It's Grace. Well, it's not Grace. Excuse me. Well, it is Grace, but it's the Living Word Church, and it's in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And they have a Facebook page. You can make comments how you enjoyed listening to everybody there. You know what I didn't ask? Mm-hmm. I really screwed up. How many people?
Oh, yeah.
That would have been good to know. Hey, if somebody's up there in Eau Claire listening, send us an email. Let us know you're listening and how many were there. Okay, we got, let's see. It says, oh, it's 10 degrees below zero here. That's what she meant.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's pretty cold.
It is.
But remember, you got Grace on your side. Then we got another one here. It says, not quite doing a two-step yet. More like a clodhopper shuffle, but the walking stick is gathering dust.
Good. Good for you.
Those are both from Lily the Lover. See how easy, folks, it is to email the show.
And Lily, let me just include this. Remember, this whole thing has nothing to do with willpower and you just trying to mind over matter anything. This is everything to do with there's somebody walking in your bones, in your feet, in your legs, and you are strong in him.
Well, you know, that I like what you just said because that's really so true that people think that there's a major job ahead.
Right.
That it's like learning yoga, that you got to meditate and you got to build up to it.
Right.
Well, that means that it's special.
Right.
And that not everybody's going to get it,
mm-hmm.
which means that allows for failure, which is what organized religion loves. Because right. that way they can say statements like this. Well, we're just mere mortals. We're sinners. We just really don't understand God's plan, and we really don't understand why he does things.
Right.
We just know that it's for the best, and we just pray for a positive outcome.
Right.
Well, everything about that is defeatist.
Sure.
Everything about that is like a giant brush painting red paint on the side of a barn about failure, a plan B,
right.
and setting yourself up for failure, because commitment and conviction for Christ is all about demanding.
Right.
Look, I was born with grace. I'm saved. I've been reborn. Where are you?
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for you being here, but, you know, hey, the clock's ticking, guys.
Right.
Let's you know, I want to say thank you, but I can't say thank you until you know.
Well, I had one of my, we had a good time up in Idaho, you know, with the family. And a lot of them are listening. Some of the family are listening. And
how
really
do you know?
Enjoying...
Are they sending you texts?
Oh, no. But I mean, they're listening to the show on a regular basis.
Oh, okay.
And one of them was just questioning, you know, the whole idea about, you know, because they're in the dairy business and everybody drinks the milk. Most of them drink the milk that comes right straight from the dairy that's not been pasteurized or, you know, put into bottles or whatever.
That's what I drink.
Yeah, they just dip it right out of the big old containers. And one of the wives was asking, Caitlin, she was a good question. She was just questioning because, you know, she was nervous a little bit about drinking some of that milk because it might mess with her stomach, it might this, that, or the other. Well, my first thought to her was, well, number one, it's not like everybody has to eat the same thing in the world. I mean, it's your choice. If you want to eat spicy food, you don't want to eat spicy food, you want to drink milk, you want to drink water, it's really your choice. However, if you want to drink this milk, then the best way to do it is to say, you know, Grace, why don't you pull up a glass of real nice cold milk with me and let's have a glass of milk together. Include him and then relinquish all your fear.
Yeah. And another, that's right. And on that same note, with that same perspective and attitude is that when you literally just grab a glass out of the house and walk right out to the milking barn and open up the lid to the milk tank, because they have big stainless steel tanks that hold the milk
right.
collectively,
yeah,
and just take that glass and dip it in the tank and say, I am so grateful that I have an opportunity to enjoy this.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right, right.
And just make a pig of yourself.
Now, to explain this, because we've talked about this before, but what you've just done, I understand it because we're talking about it. You just acknowledged and then you accepted. Explain that.
Well, a lot of people have been saved and a lot of people have been reborn, but they're really not applying it.
Right.
They don't identify. They don't recognize it. They don't acknowledge it. They still feel like there's a long road to hoe.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a journey, but it's a journey of choice.
Right.
It's like being part of God's family is like being on a highway. There is no speed limit, and there really isn't any problem as long as you have forward progress. I mean, you can put your pickup truck in drive and let your foot off the gas, and you can just kind of inch forward.
Yeah.
Or you can just put pedal to the metal and go 120 miles an hour. And nobody judges you, and it doesn't really matter because it's not about the distance that you travel. It's about the fact that there's forward progress.
Right, right.
But if you're saved and you're reborn and you're still in park.
Right, what does it say?
What does it say? You're not enjoying it.
Right.
When it comes to grace and when it's come to really praying, a prayer is more about thanking. It's not worrying about yesterday. It's not thinking about today. It's about being thankful for the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's about understanding that the minutes, seconds, minutes, hours, and days, and weeks, and months, and years that are in front of you, the next step you take is in grace.
That's good. That's good. I like it.
And so what you're doing is the reason I'm so demanding and almost rude and obnoxious and disrespectful to so many Christians is because I have conviction and commitment that I expect a positive outcome.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I?
Right.
Because if you do not have such an absolute commitment, then what does it mean by endless and boundless and limitless?
Yeah. That's excellent.
The fact that you go slow or you're in park, mm-hmm. you're putting limits on grace.
Yeah.
And once you start to put limits and boundaries, then whose fault is that?
Right.
We just got a text that popped up on the screen here in the wall in the barn. It says the locals here in the area will be at the barn in a heartbeat. Let us know when. It says the locals here in the area will be at the barn in a heartbeat.
Is that from Todd and Cheryl?
Let us know when. Well, I don't know who it's from. I don't see phone numbers.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't show phone numbers or
right.
names. It's
right.
just a text.
Right.
The locals here in the area will be at the barn in a heartbeat. Let us know when.
Hmm.
Did we talk about the barn?
I don't know that we invited anybody.
Well, I mean, folks, there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday, the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. I'm sorry.
That threw you for a loop, didn't it?
Oh, you know what? I'm just going to let that stand. I'm just going to let it stand because it's just priceless. Happy New Year to you folks who sent the text from Jim Huckaday and his radio show. Hey, here we go. Kitchen counter people. Hey, the texts are I guess they're still emailing. It says,
right.
Kitchen counter people. Let me open this up. It says, Happy New Year. Happy New Year from the kitchen counter couple to all the radio listener family. P.S. Don't do video. Keep it radio. Obviously, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm starting the new year off right. I have brand new socks and underwear on.
Yeah. Well, look at what without video. Look at the imagination. We're making people have to exercise their imagination.
Well, you know, speaking of imagination and creativity have got to be two of the most important tools.
Yeah, I think so too.
To letting this world, letting the flesh in the world
right.
take a break.
Right.
And what's really sad is a lot of people are not creative.
Hmm.
And they don't have imagination. And what's funny is that when they were kids, they created and imagined all kinds of things.
Look at how simple it was when you're a kid to lay in the grass, look up at the clouds, and say, do you see the shape right there? Do you see that football player there? Do you see that big smile there, the bunny rabbit there?
Well,
I mean, those were things that you just did without thinking. And then think of our generation. We were out of the house with no organized activities. Everything was we made it up.
Yep.
And we made everything up.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I do it all the time. Somebody says, hi, what have you been doing today? And I'll say, well, did you notice that there's a bunch of clouds in the sky that look like the dead presidents? Oh, and they go, what? And they go, that's what you've been doing? You've been looking at clouds? And I go, yeah, come on, let's do it. Well, I don't have time for that.
Right.
I'm an adult. I have responsibilities.
Right.
I have to take life seriously.
Yeah.
Well, what does that say?
Yeah.
Look where their energy's going.
Sure.
Look where their attention is.
Right.
They can't even entertain or imagine taking a break from their day because they got so many important things to do that they can't look at a cloud to see if it looks like President Washington or Lincoln.
Right.
How in the world is that person ever going to get rid of those distractions enough to contemplate having a spirit and acknowledging grace?
Well, do you remember that I went to one of the places that I ministered at and I talked about righteousness and I said, now, you know, the presence of God, remember, you said,
yeah,
why don't you do this? The presence of God is like grandma's meatloaf.
Yeah, I said, yeah.
And I just paused for a second and said, how many of you, don't raise your hand, lifted up your nose a little bit,
yeah,
your head, and smelled to see if it actually was there? I said, yeah, you have Christian righteousness. Those of you that didn't and thought, well, that's kind of ridiculous, you have a closed mind and closed heart.
I do it all the time. I did it this afternoon at the post office. There was a line of people at the post office because I was trying to get the mail mm-hmm. for the radio show, which didn't go real well. And I walked into the door and I says, have you ever noticed how Jesus smells like blueberry muffins? Well, yeah, everybody looked at me, and there was one lady about my age. I could see her nostrils flaring.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I could see her kind of like, because what her mind was doing was saying, well, I know what blueberry muffins smell
that's
like.
That's right.
If I can smell blueberry muffins in a post office,
I can smell Jesus.
And why would this guy says, have you ever noticed? But the rest of the people just looked at me like I was crazy.
From another planet.
Which shows they have no creativity, no imagination, which means that their heart is closed.
Yeah.
Their mind isn't open.
Yeah.
Well, how can you have a prayer answered? How can you have a relationship with God with a closed mind and a closed heart to something as ridiculous as infantile as saying that Jesus smells like blueberry muffins?
Right.
How do you get past the more important issues that you feel are weighty in your life?
Yeah. It's good.
Do you think that I lost my train of thought? do you want to say something to music?
Sure. I mean, I really, really, really enjoyed myself tonight. I can't tell you how much.
Did you really like the show?
Yeah, I just loved it. I loved the interaction. I thought everything was spot on with conversation. I think so many people got something out of Melanie's question to you. Where she was addressing the whole clearing your mind, and you went through a progression that I don't think you've actually gone through in that manner on the show before. And I also like Paul,
that was a first.
No, it wasn't Paul's question. The guy that talked about going home. What
James.
I liked his question too.
Yeah.
Because that helps explain and get rid of the idea that you have to be standing before a throne. When we know there is a throne of God, there is a pearly gates, there is a city that is heaven, but heaven and your experience with God is right here in your heart, too.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, I'm ready to say something. Well, Father God, we thank you for this, another radio show that we really do believe and trust has met the need of touching people's hearts, opening up their minds, and allowing them to experience you. And I pray as the last show of this year, that you'll take every wonderful and good thing that has been shared on this show and literally cause minds and hearts to be so open that people will begin to literally change right before their own eyes, that the world and the flesh will take on a whole new perspective as they literally are able to move past it and experience you. And may this new year just be filled with so many wonderful, individual, important moments where every person is able to say, I really know God. And with great confidence and joy, have testimonies, share testimonies, and literally begin to experience Christianity at its finest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that was a pretty good one. That was a good one. Well, it's been another New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So this is the second New Year's Eve of the show.
It is.
I thought it was really neat to share it with that. We need to.
I loved it.
I don't know how we'll do it, but I think we need to do this more. And I would like to do it with more places.
Oh, well, that's what I mean. I'm hoping that in this new year, even if we...
I'd like to do it once a month.
I would love to do it once a month. That's 12 places. Or, you know, Sherwood would have us back twice.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is that it was New Year's Eve.
Right.
And my idea was really shortcutting a lot of other plans.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if it was planned out like a month ahead of time,
yeah,
when they could get together on a Tuesday night,
yeah,
and they could spend the entire show.
Well,
and I think there would be more people, because I know that there's a lot of people that weren't with Sherwood because it's New Year's Eve and they've made other choices.
Well, he made a comment to me, you know, while we were talking this afternoon, and he said, you know, because things were planned out so far in advance and people brought
yeah.
people that were new that had never been
right.
or had never heard of us.
Right.
You know, he said it just makes it so that we have to stop at like quarter after, 20 after. And then we have food and everything else. But this is what he said. He said, if we'd have had more planning, he said, we would have had a whole group that would have stayed the night with us.
Yeah. And what I think you know what we might do is maybe if we do it again with him, what we'll do is we won't start at 8. We'll start at 7.
Now, that'd be nice.
And we just say, pack a lunch.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be here for 2+ hours.
And then the people that come in at 8, they get right in on the show.
Well, but what we do is we would announce this several
okay.
shows in advance. We would pick a certain Tuesday night that was like 3-4
That's
shows.
Perfect. That's perfect.
You know, and say, beware, because it's coming up. It's 3 weeks away. It's 2 weeks away. It's next week.
Now, see, that helps me, because as I go out now, I can share some of those thoughts and say, hey, we'll start at 7 o'clock for you, too.
And the other thing, too, is that, you know, you could mention it on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Folks, we really hope that you have a new year that brings you more grace and that you have more excitement. I want to thank Sherwood Wilson, his family. I also want to thank Russ. Russ is also up in Eau Claire. Is Russ a pastorizer?
He is an associate pastor.
Okay, I'd like to thank Russ Adder, because he did a great job of making sure that this would work on that end. So thanks to Russ. And I want to thank everybody and welcome to the new people that were listening. It'll take me about 15 to 25 minutes to get tonight's show up and streaming, and then it'll be there 24 hours, 7 days a week until next week's live broadcast, the first Tuesday of the new year. Until then, you'll be hearing last week's show. Want you to take care of yourself and your pets. And Ranger, what do you got to say? What else? How does she always know it's the end of the show?
She knows.
She knows. Folks, remember, and dog spelled backwards, good night, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.